Welcome to the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you every week from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White from virginiasports.com, and I usually record these podcasts on Thursdays or Fridays, but we're rolling on a Tuesday this week for a good reason. My guest is headed to spring training in Florida early Wednesday morning. That guest is former UVA pitcher Tyler Wilson, who's now with the Baltimore Orioles. Tyler, thanks for stopping by. Are you all packed for your trip?
Actually, yeah. Thanks for having me, Jeff. I'm happy to be here. I have not packed yet, but packing for spring training is a pretty easy process. You just throw everything in the bag, throw it in the truck, and hit the road. So finish it up tonight.
So the Orioles pitchers and catchers report to spring training in Sarasota tomorrow, right?
Correct, Thursday.
And how does that work? Are you each player responsible for getting himself to Florida? Or do you travel together?
Exactly. The process of getting down there, you have the option of flying, and then you can ship a car, you can rent a car, you can go without a car, or you can drive down, and they'll reimburse you gas-wise. They give you a little free rein, which is nice, instead of forcing you into one mode or another.
And you're driving?
I'm driving, yes, sir.
I am of the opinion that the word surreal gets thrown around a little too much in sports. However, when you made your Major League debut last May, the first Mariners batter you faced was none other than your former UVA teammate, Chris Taylor. Is it safe to say that qualified as a surreal experience for you?
No question. That's great perspective. Yeah, that word does get kind of floated around a little loosely at times. But that was just, I think at the given moment, Chris was the only active UVA alum in the bigs because I think Phil had broken his thumb. Zim was battling an injury, and I think Mark Reynolds was battling an injury as well. So for him to be the only active UVA alum in the big leagues at the given time and for him to be the first guy I faced was just like, in the moment as it was happening, as the inning was ending beforehand, and I knew I might be making my debut the next inning, it was crazy.
Had you checked the batting order and kind of done the math and said, well, if I do go out in the ninth,
right,
I'm going to face Chris or I might face him, or – did it not dawn on you until you actually got out on the mound?
Right. No, bottom of the eighth, they said, you know, Wilson, you've got the ninth. Go get him. And at that point, your first prerogative is to get hot and get ready to go, which took about 1 second. As soon as they said my name, my adrenaline took over from there. And then step two is you look and see who you're facing. You got to get ready and simulate how you're going to pitch those guys. And that was pretty wild to know I was going in there to face him. Goal number one was just don't hit the backstop. Complete.
Don't throw it.
Complete
out of
the pass to the catcher. No, it was pretty cool.
Was he a guy when you guys were here together where one consistently got the upper hand on the other, or was it the kind of thing where he got some hits off you and you got him out some?
We'd scrimmage so much and have so much intra-squad. I can't exactly remember whether or not he had my number or not. There was one guy that I'll never forget, John Barr, who's one of my best friends. I don't think I ever got him out in intra-squad, but I can't exactly remember what CT did against me, but everything got washed away when he got that, obviously the biggest hit ever against Irvine. Yeah. That's all the great memories I had of him before that, that's the one that just supersedes them all.
So who was in the stands that night at Camden Yards? I mean, you knew there was a possibility you'd right. pitch. So did you have family, your yeah. wife, Chelsea?
Yes, sir. To really think about the amount of people that were there to support me, to be there in that moment and share with me, it's amazing. What a blessing. So humbling. My mom was there. Chelsea was there. So many close friends and family that I've spent this whole process and battled for so many years to make that dream come true. They were there with me when it happened. And, you know, I'm so grateful for how much they invested in me. And not only that, but how much they believed in me. You know, it's a long road to get there. And it was pretty special to be able to share in that moment with them.
History will show that you retired Chris on a pop-up. Did you get to talk to him after the game?
I did. So we got to see each other underneath the stadium afterwards, and they were actually leaving to fly out the next day. So we didn't get to be able to hang out afterwards or go to dinner or anything. But it was pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be able to talk about. We accomplished some great things in college together, obviously, as a program. And those are some of my greatest memories as a baseball player. But to obviously reach that pinnacle – alongside somebody that you fought so many long, hard hours with in college was just truly story-like.
You made 9 appearances for the Orioles last season. You went 2-2 with a 3.50 ERA. Where do things stand for you heading into spring training? I mean, you're obviously in the mix. How do you feel about your chances? And has the organization, did they give you any kind of heads up going into it?
Well, you know, the Orioles' number one prerogative is to win. Yeah. And whoever fits that mold or whatever that formula looks like to garner wins is all that really matters to them. So, and I respect that. You know, that's what it's about. That's why we play the game. So I'm going into spring training healthy, knock on wood, and ready to compete. And whatever that looks like when it's all said and done, I'll be okay with knowing that I did everything I possibly could. I've worked very hard this offseason, thankful as a tribute to, you know, the strength coaches here at UVA, the Coach K's, the baseball coaches here. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been so gracious to let me come back and use their facilities. So going into spring training, I'm just really excited to compete, get after it, get back to work, and let the cards fall where they may.
You are not the only former player who comes back here in the offseason to train. I know you live here as well, which makes it easier. But why do you think so many guys come back? I mean, every day I see former UVA baseball players in the winter here training. And I'm sure they have other options, other places they could train if they wanted.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's difficult for those guys to, like you said, this is home for me, which is, you know, I'm grateful for that. But a lot of guys have to leave home and come here and kind of you know, they're already away from home for 8 months out of the year. So to spend your off season doing that as well is a difficult decision. But that just speaks to what a great opportunity it is to be here. You know, the facilities that we have here, we have access to the weight room. We have access to the baseball field and all the amazing facilities they have up there. And on top of that, the coaches, the strength coaches, the baseball coaches are invested in us. You know, they're not just checking the box and saying, okay, here's your strength program, just go do your thing. Mm-hmm. They're emotionally invested in you. We've been together, you know, I guess this is 9 years that I've been with these coaches, and you know, we've been through a lot. You know, we've fought a lot of battles together, and so, you know, they want the best for me, and they want the best for all of us, and you don't really get that anywhere else. You know, you can't go to the local gym and have somebody that wants to train you that hard. So
is it kind of cool to see how your relationship with the coaches evolves from when you're a player and it's a player coach deal, and now you're a grown man, you're out in the working world, and is it more like, you know, friends or peers than
for sure,
you know, superior and peer?
No, for sure. I still have an immense amount of respect for all those men. I mean, what they stand for, what they represent, and the model of consistency that they are is just, you know, beyond words. The accountability that they create, I could go on for a long time about that, but yeah, the relationship has evolved into more of like a symbiotic, mutual peer type friend thing than it was the coaching accountability type of coach player relationship as it was in college. So you know, it's pretty cool to be on the other side and see what type of great guys they are. Obviously, you know that coming here, that they're special men, but you know, they really care for their players. They really care for everybody that's a part of this program, and it's fun to still be a part of that.
So you graduated from Midlothian in 2007.
Yes, sir.
Right. That's so, I mean, you really got here. They were still kind of in the infancy here. Mm-hmm. If you look at it now, I mean, they were 3 years.
Right.
Basically 3 years into it. Now, you know, they've got quite a track record. So you've kind of been able to watch, been part of it, and also been able to watch the program grow into what it is today, which is, you know, as good as there is in the country, really.
No question. It's a monster. And I can remember what it looked like on my visits when I was in high school, which, you know, sophomore, junior, whatever years it was in high school. And, you know, the scoreboard wasn't there. The walls were a little different. They weren't the seats that are up and down the first baseline and out in the outfield. I actually remember, I think it was my senior year, they were playing Carolina at home back when Carolina had Andrew Miller, Daniel Bard, and Woodard, and UNC was kind of the team to beat at that time. And they put those temporary seats in down the first baseline. That was the first time they had ever done that. And I remember thinking, wow, gosh, that is so cool. And then, you know, obviously they put the chair backs. Everything has just changed so much as far as aesthetically in the stadium, but more importantly, I mean, what is it, 4 College World Series, yeah, a national championship. I mean, it's tough to compete with what, or to compare what they've done across the country. I think they've won more games than anybody in the last however many years, which is just, I mean, that's special. You know, I mean, that's, people take that for granted, I think, sometimes. And everybody wants to win all the time. And, I mean, to finish runner-up and then to battle back next year and win the whole thing is, that's pretty tough.
You finished your career at UVA in 2011. Then you started playing rookie ball that summer. So you've spent parts of five seasons in the minors before getting called up to the big leagues. Is life in the minor leagues the grind that it's often made out to be? Are there significant differences between, say, single-A ball and triple-A ball in terms of how you travel, where you stay, all that?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Things kind of change. They graduate each level that you move up. And I can remember, you know, one of my first trips in low A. So my first season in 2012, we were in Salisbury, Maryland, Delmarva. We drove down to Savannah, Georgia, I believe. It was Savannah or Augusta, one of the two. And I want to say it was legitimately 15 to 17 hours or something. We got there. We drove straight to the stadium. We got off the bus and go lace them up and play. And I think I was pitching that night, and I just remember being like, I feel like I'm made of paper mache right now. Hopefully I just get through the end of this. But things definitely get better. But that's part of it. You know, everybody's doing it. You know, it's not one team that has it worse than another. Everybody's traveling. So it's a matter of learning how to manage your body, what it takes to be ready to go every day, to not overdo it, to not underdo it, more importantly, and to, you know, you got to make some sacrifices, and that's part of the process of growing up. And, you know, nothing's easy. It just looks a little bit different as a baseball player. You know, in the real world, you got to make sacrifices too. So it just, things look a little bit different when you're playing a game.
The Orioles drafted you in the 10th round in 2011. When you signed with them, did you set up any kind of deadline or timetable for yourself where you said, well, I'm going to give this 5 years, 6 years, 4 years, and if I haven't made it to the majors by then, I'm going to move on with my life? Or did you just say, hey, I'll play it by ear and see where this thing goes?
Sure. In the moment when it first happens, it's difficult to sit to put a cap on that, to put a time cap on how long you're willing to chase your dream. But I'm also very realistic with things, and there's a lot of things in life that I want to accomplish and that I love just as much as baseball, you know, namely being my wife and family, and we spend a lot of time away from each other. So there are a lot of things that I had in mind that I wanted to accomplish in this world outside of baseball, and I still wish to accomplish those things. But I think that tentatively when we first started out on this journey, that there was a 3 or 4 year span where they would be forced to either put you on the 40-man roster or not. And that happened to that fall of 2014, so before last season, actually. And they chose to protect me, and that kind of told me where I stood in their eyes and was really a telltale sign there. So I'm not saying that that would have been the end had it not happened, but that definitely forced them to kind of reveal a little bit of their hand and what their thoughts were on me.
There is a large fraternity of Wahoos now playing pro baseball, including a good-sized group in the major leagues. Do you keep up with the former players, especially the guys you were with here at UVA?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the greatest thing, that though we accomplish so much on the field here as a program, that the relationships that were built, and everybody talks about it, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's truly, I mean, it's amazing the fact that everybody's still so close. I was just with John Barr this weekend. I was just talking about him. And, you know, I see those guys a lot. And we keep up with one another. We pull for one another. Somebody has a bad game, everybody's always there to pick them up. I mean, it's just, it's pretty awesome to see that culture has continued even beyond our time here at the university. So there's some guys doing some pretty big things out there. I mean, and that's great to see. It's really good to see the Wahoo name getting carried onto that, to the biggest stage.
You could have left UVA and turned pro after your junior year, as several of your teammates did in the program. What made you stick around for a final season?
I love UVA, and I love baseball, but I love everything about it. And we kind of finished 2010 with a little bit of a sour taste in our mouths. In my opinion, I'll stand by this to this day, was 2010 was the most talented team I'd ever seen at the collegiate level, and you know, we ran into a buzzsaw, and that's baseball. But I had invested a lot of time in my degree, and academics were important to me, and I always promised my parents I'd get my degree, and it just didn't feel like it was time for me. You know, some of those guys, it was the right choice for them to go on and pursue their professional careers, but you know, for me, given the circumstances, I needed to come back, and you know, I felt like we had some unfinished business, and there were a lot of great things that happened. I mean, 2011 was, up to that point, was the best year we had had as a program, and you know, on top of that, the relationships that continued to develop, and I met my wife that year in college. So, I mean, there were a lot of great things that happened. Like, coming to UVA is by far the best decision I've ever made in that sense, and then staying was the second best.
You got your degree in biology, right?
Yes, sir.
At one point, I believe you were talking about going to med school and being an orthopedic surgeon. Is that still – is that your fallback plan?
That was definitely – you know, I was chasing two dreams when I was in college. I was chasing that dream to play pro ball and to make it to the big leagues. And, you know, like I said, being realistic, that doesn't happen for everybody. And I'm very grateful for that has transpired in my life. But I also wanted to have a backup plan that I was passionate about. And I'm very passionate about people and helping people. And I felt that was the most tangible way to be able to do that. And especially in an orthopedic sense, I could stay involved in the game. I can help guys that are recovering from injuries, and I've seen it affect so many of my close friends that it just made sense. So at this juncture in my life, I'm not sure what med school would hold. I would obviously love to go back and do that, but, you know, I'm getting a little bit older, and it's not a small commitment to be able to make the decision to go back and pursue not only just med school, but to become a surgeon. So, you know, I've got all my eggs in this baseball thing going, and I try not to get too distracted with other opportunities because I'm all in and I'm chasing it 110%. But when there comes a time to pursue something else, you know, we'll see.
You were on two teams here that played in the College World Series, including the first one in program history ever to make it to Omaha. What was it like to see Virginia finally break through last season and win the NCAA championship? I can't remember. Were you in Omaha or you probably weren't?
I was not.
You were playing ball.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was not.
Did you have a game that night? Oh, yeah.
Yes, we did. Actually, I was flying. So I was actually in Baltimore, and I had gotten optioned down on the day of the third game. So I was flying back to Norfolk. And I'm watching the game three on TV, or I'm watching it on my phone sitting in the airport. And we took off. I guess it was probably
that can't be a long flight.
No. So Wads was still pitching, and I want to say maybe the third or fourth inning. I landed in the seventh or eighth. And so I'm walking aimlessly through the airport with my head stuck in my phone. I don't know how many people I ran into, but I got to see the majority of it, you know, the first couple innings and then the last couple. And I've gone back and watched the whole thing start to finish since. But that was truly a culmination of a lot of things. I mean, like I was talking about, the coaches have been a model of consistency, accountability, and discipline, which is just – I mean, that translates. You know, obviously everybody knows how the season started for those guys. But to continue to keep fighting and to never cash it in and ultimately – win the whole thing in a season where nobody thought that would be the outcome. Well, I say nobody loosely. Those guys thought that it was going to happen. But I'm saying that there were some doubters out there, and they never lost faith. They never lost hope. They kept doing the things the exact same way. They never take a day off. They never cash anything in. And that's what creates a successful program. And more importantly, that's what creates great guys. That's what creates great people. That's going to translate into the real world, and that's the most amazing thing that they do is the types of guys that they create.
One of those guys is your kid brother, Riley Wilson, who is a redshirt freshman pitcher on the team this year. What is the age gap between you guys, and has he flashed his championship ring?
Shoot, you know he does. Absolutely does. So Riley's 19, and I'm 26. We're 7 years apart. And the older we've gotten, the closer we have become, just because the relationship has transitioned from that definitely older brother, I don't want to say mentor, but just a little bit different. I had gone through a lot more things in life than he had, and we were just in different places. And into now, you know, fortunately we're in the same area code again. You know, he's in school, I live down the street, and it's a much more mature relationship. And so I'm so proud of him and everything that he's accomplished in life, and I'm so grateful that he decided to come to UVA over other schools. And you know, he's a great kid, and he's battling some injuries right now, but you know, he's a fighter, and they've got the best staff in the country, like we talked about, taking care of him. And BMAC is the real deal as far as our athletic trainer goes, and he's going to do everything in his power to get him right. And so he's fighting every day to get back out there, and I'm looking forward to seeing him in that uniform here soon.
So Riley went to Cosby, you went to Midlothian, rival high schools.
Well, Cosby opened my senior year. Okay. Yeah, so Cosby was...
So you would have gone there or
correct, yeah. We actually live right down the street from Cosby. That was our home high school, whatever you want to call it. So, but Cosby's been a great program since their inception in 2007, being their first season. And actually, my high school catcher, his name was Jake Lowry, who went on to JMU.
He played at Clover Hill.
Exactly. Right. Well, he played at Midlow, and then he went to Cosby.
Oh, his dad is Tim Lowry.
Exactly,
right.
Yeah. And played under his dad at Cosby for his junior and senior year because he was a year younger. So that was cool. And that guy, I mean, he's had an amazing career. He won the Johnny Bench Award in college and has done a lot of special things. So the rivalry hadn't been born yet when I was in high school. But
UVA opens the season Friday against Kent State in Myrtle Beach. I know you got to get going now, but I just wanted to ask you, are you able to follow the team closely during the season? I'm guessing you do.
No question. Yeah, I'm all in on everything. I follow those guys. You know, a lot of time, what stinks is that, you know, when they play at night, we play at night. Yeah. So, you know, I can only read the box scores and kind of, you know, text around and see what exactly transpired. But when they play in the day, it's great. Or when they play Monday nights on that new thing that they've been doing, I guess it's ESPN the last couple of years, which that's awesome. I mean, you know, it's great to see college baseball getting some love in that regard. But yeah, I follow every game. Yeah, I see what they've what.
What about
the
Sunday afternoon games in a weekend series? You guys play?
We usually play Sundays at 1 as well. So we overlap a lot, but anytime there's a chance I can see one, I'm definitely tuned in. And I mean, I follow, obviously love baseball, but you know, hoops is, I don't know if that's because of Chelsea, but I've always had a passion for hoops even before I met her. So, you know, I see you everywhere. You know, I love going to all these events, and I'm a diehard Wahoo. So I actually saw yesterday at the tennis match. That was a tough one, but that was you know, the athletic program is just so much to be proud of. I mean, they in every capacity. Every single team, they're the model of doing things the right way. Unbelievable coaching staffs across the board. Obviously, the athletics department personnel, they do a great job. That's a tribute to them with, you know, Jane and Craig. But, you know, I'm so proud of not just the baseball team, but UVA in general and everything that they accomplish. And I wear it proud. I wear it on my sleeve. I catch a lot of flack for it. But, you know, I will say that till the day I die. I have no shame in what they've accomplished here. It's really special.
Well, listen, thanks so much again for stopping by and making time for this interview. Have a safe trip to Florida and best of luck this year.
No, I appreciate it.
Got a lot of people pulling for you here.
Thank you.
This is an extremely light weekend in terms of UVA athletic events taking place in Charlottesville. The women's basketball team hosts Clemson on Sunday afternoon at JPJ, and that's it this weekend. Remember to check virginiasports.com for schedules and information on all 25 teams. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, thanks for listening.